We have the first of a joint two-part talk. So Felix, please take it away.
Okay, so let me also thank the organizers for putting again this very nice workshop again. So I'll speak about work that appeared earlier this year with Changha Choi, Mark Mizet, and Gabor Sarosi. And the theme of the talk is going to be to see quite explicitly the emergence of some bulk features that we would expect in a theory where stringy effects are important. So in a regime where we take large n, but finite lambda in a heuristic sense. And because something like n equals 4 super Young Mills at finite coupling will be too complicated, I'll discuss particular toy models that are very similar to the ones that we just heard about. And the context where I'll discuss this is in context of quantum chaos and out of time order correlation functions. So I'll be very quick, but let me just say what this is. So this is supposed to capture the fact that a suitably chaotic quantum many-body Hamiltonian evolves an initially simple local operator into a very complicated operator at an exponential rate. So we can quantify that by considering the overlap of these two states, where I compare just how different they are, depending on whether I act with these operators V and W, depending on in which order I act with them. And that will start to deviate in a large n chaotic system. This will start to deviate from the factorized answer in an exponential manner, which defines this quantum Lyapunov exponent that we'll be talking about. And we'll also be interested in higher order effects that make this OTOC saturate at times after the scrambling time. So we know from Maltasena Schenker Stanford that there's a fundamental bound on this Lyapunov exponent, and I'll refer to gravity and systems like SYK at strong coupling as maximally chaotic in the sense that they saturate this bound. Now, let me try to pose the question of this talk in a slightly different way. So I'll be talking about variants of SYK, of the SYK Hamiltonian. What Douglas just called P, I'm going to call Q again. Sorry for that. So Q is going to be the number of fermions that couple through each of these instances of J. And we have a Schwarzian effective description that describes the leading effects at large beta J, and that is responsible for a contribution to the four-point function that is maximally chaotic. Now, the question I want to ask is, if we consider finite beta J in this description, is there some useful way to modify this effective theory such that we capture not just the Schwarzian mode, the Schwarzian contribution to the four-point function, but some contributions of other relevant modes that resum into some effective contribution, which would be like this Pomeron or Scramblon that we've heard about and that would be responsible for submaximal chaos. Now, let me tell you what we'll be after, the kind of thing we would like to discover in such an SYK calculation. And I'll do that by describing how you would calculate this in the bulk. So you could imagine calculating this OTOC as an overlap of these in and out states. So for instance, the W operator would create some perturbation that travels in the far past that travels approximately along a horizon, and the V perturbation creates a similar perturbation along the other horizon. And the physical thing that happens is a 2-to-2 scattering process, which encodes the interaction of these particles. Now, we can represent these in this manner by decomposing into states with a more or less definite momentum. So these Q plus, Q minus, P minus are now momentum variables, and I'm giving this representation in terms of wave function in terms of these momenta. So in other words, these are just bulk to boundary propagators for these perturbations, Fourier transformed along the horizons. And the scattering process is described by this phase factor that describes the phase difference between the in and out states. Now, there's a well-known iconal approximation that is valid when G Newton is small, but the center of mass of this scattering process is large, of order 1 over G Newton. So, for instance, in Einstein gravity, this iconal phase would then look something like this, that it's proportional to G Newton and to the product of these momenta, and there will be a factor that grows exponentially in time. that is the same growth that's responsible for the Lyapunov exponent. Now, what we're after is not just the gravity result, but these stringy corrections that were studied especially in this paper by Stanford and Schenker. And let me, so I'm not going to explain where that comes from, but this comes from a string theory, from taking into account elastic tree-level stringy corrections to this gravity Iconov phase. And let me describe very briefly some of the features of this. So you can see that this Iconov phase now involves some integral over momentum. And depending on the impact parameter, delta x, different contributions to this integral will dominate. So for large impact parameter, the thing that dominates is the pole that you can see here when k squared plus mu squared is zero, which is associated with a gravitational contribution. On the other hand, for small delta x, this integral is dominated by a saddle point that gives a contribution that looks like this. So this q plus p minus e to the t is now raised to some power that differs from one. And this difference is an alpha prime correction, which at the end of the day lowers the Lyapunov exponent from its maximal value. So the goal is going to be to discuss and review how you get this gravity result from a Schwarzian limit. And then eventually we want to discover something like this stringy answer in an SYK model or in an SYK chain where we have a spatial extent and hence a momentum variable. And as an intermediate step, I will discuss a single SYK model in the large Q limit or large P limit at finite temperature, where we can see sort of part of this effect that this quantity gets raised to some power V, where V is the same V that we heard about in Douglas's talk. But I'll describe it in more detail what this is. Okay, so let me begin with the maximal chaos case and with a very special case where we can understand how this works. So for instance, in the Schwarzian theory, we have an effective theory of time reparameterizations that induces a universal coupling for pairs of operators in this effective theory. And we can compute four-point functions by doing a path integral over these reparameterizations against two of these bilocal functions. Now, the point is, okay, so I want to do this calculation in real time. So I imagine doing this path integral and putting this action, evaluating this action in real time, and in particular on a real-time contour that is appropriate for calculating such an OTOC. So I imagine I have these insertions, and I evaluate this action on this contour. And the upshot is going to be that there are certain modes among the fluctuations around the thermal saddle point that dominate this path integral calculation and that we need to treat carefully. So this is also very similar calculations have been done in all these papers. But let me just say a few words on how you would do this in the Schwarzian theory. So you would, by studying fluctuations around the saddle point in this action, you will discover that there are certain soft modes, and there are in particular two modes that grow or decay exponentially in time. And these, so we can excite such modes exponentially softly in some sense. So for instance, this e to the minus t mode would be, we imagine turning that on the parts of the contour that lie between the blue operator insertions. So it is very small in the future, where we have this operator insertion, but it can grow large towards the past. And similarly, this other mode can be very small in the past, but grow large towards the future. And usually these modes don't do much, but now, well, so the setup we have here is this out-of-time order setup where on the third part of the contour, these two modes interact in a non-trivial way. And that leads to a contribution to their action that requires careful treatment. I will sometimes draw the contour like this. We will see why this is useful. So I'm just stretching out this real-time contour and parameterizing it by some contour time s. Okay, so the action for these soft modes that are related to the reparameterizations and the SL2R symmetry is of this form, so it looks similar to what we saw before in these momentum variables. It So it's like a product of x plus x minus, the coefficients of these modes. It is large, as in proportional to n, but is exponentially small in time. So there's a competition between n and e to the minus t, and for late enough times, the saddle point approximation is not valid anymore, and we have to do an exact integral over these x plus x minus modes. So we can do that, and we get some explicit answer for the OTOC in this regime when this quantity is order one. Okay, now let me discuss the large Q limit of SYK, which we just heard about. So I'll be quick with introducing it. So I'll look at this limit where n is much bigger than Q squared, it's much bigger than one. In that limit, the collective G sigma description of the SYK model reduces to an action that looks like this. So it looks a little bit like a Liouville theory for a bilocal in time field G. That describes the 1 over q squared contribution to this action. Now, in this limit, a lot of nice things happen in this limit. One thing is that the OTOC at order 1 over n is known exactly for any value of the coupling. So I didn't write the full expression, but it looks something like this. And I want to highlight two features. So one is that it grows exponentially in time with a Lyapunov exponent that is 2 pi v over beta. So that's the same v that we heard about in the previous talk. Another feature that's interesting is this phase factor that was highlighted in various papers by Kitaev and collaborators. And this phase factor is important for the microscopic consistency of this result. Now, we can do a similar calculation to what I just sketched for the Schwarzian theory, and we can again study fluctuations of this action, and you will again find soft modes, nearly zero modes, that give a contribution to the action that is proportional to n, but also to e to the minus t, or e to the minus vt. So we need to do the path integral over these modes exactly. Now, these modes are now, the only difference is that these modes are now bilocal in time. So it's a little bit more confusing how to deal with that. So I can draw pictures like this where I associate one of these out-of-time order contours with each time argument. If I stretch them out, it allows me to draw such a two-dimensional diagram that tells you where the two legs of these bilocal fields are sitting in this bilocal space in time. So this is the generalization of this contour. And as before, these plus and minus perturbations have support that corresponds to switching on these soft modes between the operator insertions. So if you think about this, looks like something like the support for the plus mode looks something like this, and for the minus mode something like this. And if you overlay them, you again find interactions between them on certain parts of the contour that are responsible for this action. Okay, so you can evaluate that. You find a result, and you notice that it looks very similar to the result we had in the Schwarzian theory. The only difference is that the argument of this hypergeometric function now has some phase factor, and the Lyapunov exponent has changed. And we just heard a very nice way to think about this in a geometric way. And the basic observation was that this looks a lot like maximal chaos somehow, but with respect to some twisted temperature. And you can... Okay, so Douglas explained this, so I will not say too much about it, but essentially these correlation functions in this theory have an extended range of analyticity that comes from multiplying the beta by V. And as we've heard, there's an SL2 symmetry. In the way I wrote it, one way to see such an SL2 symmetry is by thinking about what the solutions to the equation of motion of this Liouville-type theory look like. The general solutions look like this. So they are generated by reparametrizations of time, again. Not just that there are now two reparametrizations, f and g, of the two time variables. And there's an SL2R symmetry that acts in a diagonal fashion on these. Okay. So in the beginning, I showed you what the stringy result looks like. So now let's try to look at a toy model where we get something like that. And for that, we need a spatial direction. So we considered the SYK chain. So we have sites, and on each site, there's a SYK model. And the sites are coupled next in a nearest neighbor fashion, again, with random couplings. In the large Q limit, so there is, again, a nice large Q limit, which consists of a sum of that local Liouville-type theories with a coupling that looks like this. And we can, again, do a similar analysis as before. Now, this seems to be a bit more generic in the sense that there are the, except for the saddle point that's x-independent, the fluctuations and the soft modes that we find for the action are not generated by reparametrizations. And there seems to be no SL2R symmetry, at least not in any obvious way. Nevertheless, these soft modes I talked about still exist, and they still give you a contribution to the path integral that's very similar to the one we discussed for the single SYK site. So what changes? I wrote down here what these soft modes that are responsible for the butterfly effect, what they look like. And they depend on momentum now. So the x plus, x minus parameters depend on momentum. And also these, so what's inside these brackets looks like the reparametrization generated modes that we had before. But they now get raised to a power that depends on the momentum. And this h of k, so h of k is defined like this, where gamma is some coupling between the SYK sites. For small momentum, h is approximately 2, so this power would be 1. But then if you have momentum along the chain, this power changes. So you can go through a similar exercise as what I described. And again, you find an action for these soft modes, for the interaction of these soft modes. And it looks like before, except that there's now a momentum integral. And so you can already anticipate here that the exponential time dependence picks up some Lyapunov exponent that now depends on the momentum. So it has a component that is this power of v, which we already saw before, but then it also depends on momentum in this through this function h. And we can use that, again, to write down what the out-of-time autocorrelator looks like. And I'm not writing an explicit result now, but I'm writing it in the form that I had in the beginning that looks like a gravity calculation. So in terms of momentum variables, q plus and p minus, and wave functions, and the scattering phase. And what we find from this calculation is a form of this scattering phase. And I wrote it here, and you can compare it, and it looks very similar to this stringy result, so we can compare. So let me highlight a few features of that. So one thing is that this iconal factor here has a pole, which plays a similar role as the k squared plus mu squared equals 0 graviton pole in the stringy result. Then this exponent of this center of mass quantity is going to translate into the Lyapunov exponent. And yeah, I don't know about this separation, but let me propose the following splitting, that there is one piece that comes from this fake disk that we heard about, that's the power of v, which we also saw in the single SYK dot. And then there's a second contribution that depends on the momentum along the chain, and that looks like this j minus 1 contribution that encodes the alpha prime corrections in the stringy calculation. And finally, there are, also the wave functions also get deformed by this v parameter. And finally, there's a prediction of a tower of other terms that enter here that come out of this SYK calculation, and that would be nice to understand from a stringy point of view. I'll skip the details of that and just summarize what I told you. So I presented a path integral calculation of the OTOC that rests on evaluating the contribution of these soft modes that grow exponentially in opposite directions and interact in the out-of-time order configuration. I discussed special cases where the zero modes are associated with reparametrizations and there are SL2 symmetries. One was the case of maximal chaos, and the other case was submaximal chaos due to this extended range of analyticity that we have in the large Q system and this geometric picture that Douglas explained. And finally, I, I talked about the large QSYK chain, where the Lyapunov exponent becomes momentum dependent, and we can match in more detail to a stringy calculation. And of course, as I mentioned, let me just highlight one question. I mentioned that the result we get in SYK looks a bit like the stringy answer, but it has extra terms that sort of indicate the exchange of multiple strings, something. So I'll be happy to talk about that more, but this is something we don't understand from a bulk point of view. Thank you.
So, let's take a couple questions now. Is that okay?
Sure.
Good. Because we'll have a second speaker momentarily, but the slides are up now, so you can also ask him afterwards. All right, how about you get set up?
Okay. Thank you. Oh. Hello. Okay.
Very good. All right. Please take it away, Ping.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to give a talk here. It's the second part of the merger talk with Felix. It's a pretty good talk at the second part because I can skip the introduction. So I used to have like 10 pages of introduction. Now I only have one page with two graphs. Okay. So the basic upshot is that we know the title is I want to construct the effective theory for the non-maximal chaos, where in Felix's talk they call sub-maximal chaos. Okay. Yeah. Just different terminology, but the same thing. Okay. So okay. Good. So the idea. Where is? Okay. Good. So the idea is that for maximal chaos, we know we just exchange the Schwarzschild mode or the more generally stress tensor. We just get the maximal Lyapunov exponent to 2 pi over beta. But for non-maximal chaos, as Felix just introduced, for example, in the CFT, we have sum over like in the register, we have sum over large infinite number of the higher spin modes, and in the end we could get some scrambling or Pomeran as effective description for the exchange in the exchange channel that responsible for the non-maximal chaos. In this talk we are trying to have a phenomenological construction for the effective mode responsible for non-maximal chaos. But due to technical issues, so far we was unable to figure out the case for 0 plus 1 dimension, so ignore any spatial direction. And we are working in progress to include the spatial directions. Okay. Before I proceed, I have to emphasize that there's a notation difference. In Felix's talk, he used kappa as the Lyapunov exponent, but here I use a more conventional one as a lambda. Okay. Good. So before I talk about the details, let me first give a quick review about the effective theory constructed by Hong and Blake and Lee a few years ago about the maximal chaos. So the general idea is quite simple. So let's just focus on this diagram and basically assume this diagram is a dominant for the mechanism for maximal chaos. Then you just simply imagine you have two operators, W fuse to some vertex, another 2V fuse another vertex, and these two vertex contain at least a linear in some effective mode called curl phi. And you have some two-point functional curl phi with exponential growth, and that is basically responsible for your exponential growth for your OTOC, okay? So more specifically, you just consider W consists of a bare operator, W0, and a cloud of a phi in expansion like this. So the L is just some general differential operator, describes how you couple the W now with the effect mode of curl phi. And now I just said this, and the 2W fits to, you know, this is the part is just a two-point function of the bare operator W0, and this is the vertex, and the vertex is linear in the curl phi in the leading order approximation. Okay, and the W0 and the V0 does not talk to each other. Okay, and then to have exponential growth, we can impose the shift symmetry for the effect action for the curl phi. So which means that we consider there is a shift symmetry phi shifted to any number a and times e to plus minus lambda t. So it turns out in the maximal chaos case, this curl phi is like the soft mode that, for example, if you look at the SYK model in the low temperature limit, this is a phi turns out to be the Schwarzschild mode. Okay, so the Schwarzschild mode has SO2 symmetry, and around the equilibrium solution, the infinitesimal one just has the exponential growth piece. So okay, but more phenomenologically, we can just say, okay, let's imagine we have a shift symmetry for the effect action. Then because of this shift symmetry, the action should have the kernel like this. Right now, because we have kernel like this, this means that in the momentum space, you will have a pole in the upper half plane and lower half plane to be I lambda and minus I lambda. Okay, and now you can consider use the action to compute a retarded function, and retarded function should have all the poles below its contour in the momentum space, and this residue will peak out exponential growth for the two-point function of the effect mode. Okay, but turns out that in a later paper by Hong and Blake, they basically show that this whole construction only works for the maximal chaos. The reason is that if you consider the KMS symmetry constraint to the four-point function you compute in this construction, you have to put the lambda equal to 2 pi over beta. Okay, so. So now the question is how to generalize the structure of EFT for maximal chaos to a non-maximal chaos case. So the goal of this work is basically want to just phenomenologically achieve these four lines. The first is that we still want the diagram like a two fields to channel with some effect mode work. Second, we want some exponential growth for the OTOC with non-maximal lambda. And we want no expansion growth for the TOC, even though there's still some effective mode exchange with apparently exponential growth. Okay, and we want that everything is compatible with KMS symmetry. So, okay, what is KMS symmetry? This is, though there are many words, but this simply says that for four-point function, I can move this O back to the back with energy continuation for 2 pi, okay? And we want the four-point function obey this. This is a general constraint. And then we can define the notation. F hat says, basically, I have the T order. The order is order by the imaginary part of time of this T, or for T. This is like a standard treatment, but this is just definition. Now, this definition is a symmetric. Under I exchange T1 to T2 because of the ordering of T and the T3 and T4. So as an example, we can basically have this definition to compute both the TOC and OTOC. It depends on how do you arrange the T1 to T4 based on the imaginary part. Okay, for example, if you put the imaginary part in this ordering, then they correspond to TOC, and if you put in this ordering, this just corresponds to OTOC. Okay, this has been shown in FedEx talk, but this is slightly different language. Okay, so now what is the ingredient to for us to construct such an EFT? The first one is probably surprising, is that we need some non-locality. Well, actually, in FedEx review, they mentioned that in the SYK and SYK chain, there's some the soft mode has some non-local configuration, and more generally, if we imagine the the maximal chaos, non-maximal chaos from your sum over infinite hours of some like higher spin modes probably will have some, okay, probably will have some non-locality somewhere, okay? So on the other hand, we just check that if we simply impose just a local coupling between the bare operator W with the effective mode, just the same as EFT for maximal chaos, we'll find it's always maximal chaos by the constraint by Kermit's condition, even though you can have like multiple numbers of the effective mode. So okay, so we have to introduce some non-locality. Okay, then how do we do that? We basically consider this kind of expansion of a pair of operators. So we can have two W, the leading term to be some W now, and the second with some differential operator D acting on some phi. But notice that this phi depends on both T and T prime. So this basically, this phi is a non-local field, okay. Of course, for the two-point function, we don't want any non-locality, right? We have a very clear constraint on the four-point function where the singularity should be, right? Because only happens for when we have two points collide with each other. So this will be a constraint to the whole construction. Okay, the second ingredient that we need to slightly increase the number of effective mode. The EFT for maximal chaos one, we just have one effective mode, which may be related to the stress tensor, but here we just consider two mode. On the other hand, we want to minimize the amount of non-locality in the sense that we want, even though we have phi one and phi two, but we want one of the effective mode just mainly coupled to one bare operator, but just slightly coupled to the other one. And the slightly here means like it contains a little bit of non-local information, but keep it to the minimal case, okay? And you can imagine if we go to the maximal chaotic limit, then probably this little bit of locality just go away and we just have a local thing, okay? Now, the explicit construction is the following. So we consider the following coupling like this. We have the two W, leading term to be bare one. The second one is is designed this way. So we first compare the T and T prime, which has a larger imaginary part. And we take a larger imaginary part, coupled to phi two, and with a smaller imaginary part, coupled to phi one, okay? Why we have this one? One motivation is from large SYK. So this formula has been reported in Felix's talk. Let me just repeat. So this is like the solution to Liouville equation, and it describes the solution to a large SYK. The point is that you can have any f and g function that is a solution to equation motion, but which field couple? Take a function of f and which field take function of g actually depends on like which is in the front of the other on the Euclidean circle. Okay, so you can imagine in the large SYK, the case is like the operator is in front in the Euclidean circle coupled to the f and the other one coupled to g. So that means that these two operator depends on the relative ordering, they will couple to different fields. Okay, and to account for the non-locality, we define a argument T bar, which is average T and T prime, and we can treat this L operator to be like some very general differential operator. Okay. Okay. For this definition, first it guarantees the symmetry. So we switch T and T prime. Second, we see that the dependence on the T-bar is actually encodes the non-locality. But we want this one to be minimal, so we basically take a derivative expansion. Of course, we don't know what is the parameter control the derivative expansion, but so far we're just working a very phenomenological level. Okay. Now, the leading order for differential operator, we just have no T-bar derivative dependence. So this L is local. And what is the non-local? Non-local, and then the T-bar non-trivial dependence will be the part of the correlation function of the effective mode of the phi 1, phi 2. Okay. Right, okay. So and now, as I said in the last slide, like I want one mode mainly coupled and locally coupled to one field. Here basically says that this W0 mainly coupled to one of the phi, and the other one, and then just slightly know the non-local information of the another W now because the weak dependence on the T-bar. Okay. Okay, good. So now that is the main construction of the field content. And now let's look at all the constraints we have and see how the constraints constrain our theory. The basic input is that, okay, there is a Kamin symmetry. The Kamin symmetry for four-point function will give us the Kamin symmetry for the two-point function. But because I couple the phi 1 and phi 2 in a quite an asymmetric way, so you can imagine the KMS condition will transform into a very non-trivial KMS condition between phi and phi 2. So in other words, the phi 1 and the phi 2 are not independent field, even though I set two field. They are actually coupled with each other by the KMS condition. So you can imagine just in this picture, phi 1 is basically defined on the green strip and the phi 2 defined on this blue strip. And the Kamin condition basically relate the point here, field here to there, and there, and there. Okay, so phi and phi 2 are related to each other. Now the point is, we have two problems. First, the Kamin condition looks very non-trivial because it related two fields. Second, the phi and phi 2 are not defined in the same domain, right? Because I said phi 1 and phi 2, which couple to which depends on the like which is in the front order of the operator, which depends on the later order of the operator. So the phi 1 defined has a domain different from phi 2, okay. But if we want to write an EFT for both fields, we should first have something, okay. We should first have something in the defined in the same domain, okay. So the way to do that is, okay, we just define a new field eta by shift this region to the right, and they can define in the same domain. And we basically want to write an EFT for the effective field eta. Okay, then there is some. Then by this definition, the KMS will become diagonal. And furthermore, we can decompose this into three components such that eventually we'll get a KMS condition very conventional, which means that you will have just an analytic continuation of the time to I pi with up to some phase. Okay. Now we can put this KMS condition into the conventional Cavendish contour. Okay. So for this section, we basically want to write it down an action, basically a quadratic action for the eta field. We put it on this contour, and we have a conventional KMS condition, so we know how to do that. It's just a very standard thing. Right, and now we, for simplicity, consider no dissipation, so the KAA term just zero. Then we consider linear order in derivative of a tau bar, and the other term, the leading order should be no derivative in tau bar. So here means that we have a weak dependence on the non-local part. Oh, by the way, the tau bar means the imaginary part of T bar, because to write down an effect, you write down an action, you have to choose a section for the complex variable T bar. Here I choose to be the Euclidean section. Okay, good. And remember, we have some constraint from locality of the four-point function because we say the singularity of the four-point function f only occurs when we have coincident points. So that will give us constraint to constrain the k differential operator. So anyway, the upshot is that we'll have two modes, but the two modes will actually couple to each other. They are not independent. Then there are many constraints from the four-point function, and put everything in together, that will give us a lot of limitation to this action. Now, for this action, we want the exponential growth. Then we basically impose the shifted symmetry. Notice we have eta plus and eta minus field. So we only impose the shift symmetry for the eta minus one. And in this case, we'll have, same thing, we'll have this kernel, and this kernel give us, exponential growth of the two-point function of the effective mode. And we also impose the shift symmetry for the vertex, etc. So all the rest of the story will be exactly the same as EFT for the maximal chaos construction. Okay. The only difference is that we have two effective modes now. Okay. Let's just quickly see some result. Okay, for OTOC, F is the OTOC. So OTOC turns out to be just proportional to the retarded function of this commutator of this eta field. So it has exponential growth by the construction. On the other hand, if we look at the G4, this guy is TOC. It's funny, like it does not automatically have vanishing exponential growth. It's actually proportional to a symmetric retarded function of the eta plus component. So somehow we have to impose a further condition saying that this guy does not have exponential growth. That will give just some constraint to the action construction. Okay. Okay. Then this is the final result for the O2C, which matches with previous large-scale SYK construction, but it just put more general ground because you know those function G is model dependent now. Okay, but we also have the exponential growth piece and especially the phase, which Felix also mentioned. And okay, so you may ask why we have two modes and why is it just something you just made from graphs and have nothing to do with the SYK model? No, okay, the point is that we actually can identify two the double repatriation mode in the large SYK. So again, from Felix's talk, this large SYK, you know, a solution to the Liouville equation of this form, if you imagine the F and G have a different fluctuation, we call it the double repatriation, in contrast with the fluctuation of Schwarzschild in the maximal chaos case, and these two fluctuations are actually not independent because of KMX condition constraints, exact same condition. And these two effective modes are exactly captured by our EFT because we have two modes and we can identify everything. Okay. Okay, last thing I want to mention that we impose a shift symmetry to get exponential growth, but that is just for the two-point function level. But if we impose a shift symmetry for all higher order of the vertex, we can automatically derive there is a scattering like a formula, just like the scattering, the one Felix introduced, like a stringent scattering. You have some wave function, you have some, the y here just the null momentum, roughly speaking, and the x is just the scattering amplitude, now with the correction from non-maximal chaos. Okay, good. So this is a short summary. Summary is like we have a few ingredients to construct EFT for non-maximal chaos. One is we must have some minimal non-locality, and we have input the KMX condition, and there has some locality constraint from the four-point function, and in the end we can find that if we have shift symmetry, we'll get a exponential growth OTOC, and there's no exponential growth for TOC if we further impose condition for the specific part. Okay, and just leave this page. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions?
Henry had a question on Zoom, which is short, so maybe I'll read it out loud. Is it clear, this is mostly for Felix, is it clear that the SL2 in Liouville is related to the SL2 of the fake disk?
Okay, this is a very good question. I think they are actually very closely related because the SL2 in the Liouville is actually, they are just the same thing. Okay, short answer is they are just directly related. Because you construct in the bulk of this SL2, but you put it in the boundary, that just corresponds to you have the solution to the Liouville equation, and that is SL2 shifted down. That's the same thing. Yeah, but one thing I want to mention is also related to Douglas' talk. Like they identify E plus P as a scrambling, but here we seems to say this phi one and phi two field works as a scrambling. Okay, I think there are some more specific relation to be understood between how to see this to relate or equivalent.
Other questions? If not, let's thank them again.